podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. Oh, I've got our cameras the wrong way around. Look at that. Apparently, you're me and I'm you, Sam. Let's just sort that out quickly.
Great start.
as usual. See, it's all the latest news we've just had has completely thrown me.
We're gone, aren't we?
I was saying to you just before, it's a Q&A, but I think we're the ones that need the answers. hi to everyone in the chat. There's 163 people in the chat. So hello to everyone. If you've got questions for us, stick them in the chat and we'll answer them as best we can. But there's new news coming almost every second, isn't there, Sam?
Probably while we'll be live, there'll be more, I imagine, the way it's going at the moment this morning. It feels like every 5 minutes something changes and my transfer goes out the window again.
I know. I mean, I was finally all set to bring in my beloved James Maddison and hand him the captain's armband. And now
that's what I was going to do.
Yeah, and now the Burnley game is off. So I'll tell you my plan in a minute. It's something I never thought I would be saying this season, but that is what I'm looking at.
From what I just heard a whispering from you, I think your plan might be quite similar to what my other half
really
is going to do as well. Yeah. He said it this morning before that postponement news. So be now interesting to see what happens.
Oh God, Lee and I in sync. Is that?
I know, right?
That's even more.
That's as rare as you and me being in sync.
right. Just before we talk about the carnage that's going on, let me just mention So Rare quickly. So I've submitted my So Rare Academy squad this week. And if you don't know what So Rare is, it's essentially a card NFT game, which you can sort of buy and sell players on the kind of blockchain. So you've got kind of a certain amount of cards that you can have and they're yours and you can use them and essentially enter into like five-a-side competitions. So lots of leagues and players and teams have all signed up. Griezmann is a huge fan of it. He's obviously always promoting the game. So Rare is a completely free way to get involved in So Rare if you haven't tried it before. And I've got a team of players from all across different European teams and they all earn points similar to fantasy, and then there's 10 cards each week that you can win, which are actual So Rare cards that are worth actual money. So they've given away cards worth €600, €400, €200 in the past. So you've missed the deadline this week because the deadline was literally as we started this video, which wasn't ideal. But if you are interested in any of that, head over to So Rare Academy and you can get involved next time. Right, I've done our screens the wrong way around on this slide as well. I really did think that you were me and I was you.
You want to be me today?
I do. I'm not even going to change it. I'm just going to leave it.
are we so confused?
I know, it is confusing. Honestly, I don't know what I'm doing. I was so panicked when I saw that Burnley. And Chris was, last night, Maddison was going up. Yeah. And all my instincts were, I know I want Maddison. Rodgers has set the game as going ahead.
Yeah.
So I'll bring him in and get that price rise. And then there was just a little voice in my mind that was like, no, don't do that. That's stupid.
I mean, I must admit, I did exactly the same thing. At the end of that Liverpool game, I was just pottering around with my FPL team thinking, well, Son's definitely not going to play. So maybe I just do this one early. And then I was like, nah.
Yeah.
I'll do it tomorrow. Even if it's an extra 0.1, it's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad now I didn't, because now it has put me off, because of course it's now a single game week against Spurs, which isn't anywhere near as attractive as a double game week against Burnley and Spurs. So I don't know.
I mean, the other news is the Arsenal Spurs game is a doubt as well. Yeah. Arsenal got a ban, which apparently adds to the list of available players, which is ridiculous ruling.
And an injury, of course, didn't they last
week? And they
got
the injury to Saka as well. So there's two less players they've got. They had a thin squad anyway.
Yeah, they
if you
did.
Looked at the team sheets between the Liverpool and Arsenal, Arsenal had, you know, a barely in, you know, a full squad there anyway, and then two more doubts. So that game is a doubt. Obviously, the Watford and Burnley game is now a doubt.
Must be a doubt, mustn't it?
As well. Which leaves just United, Chelsea and Brighton as the...
Your boys!
Brentford. And Brentford as a double game week players.
Yeah, but Brentford's double is awful, so you're not going to target that.
Ethan Pinnock, he's rising up the ranks on the defender rankings now.
Oh wow! Oh, is that where we are? This is where we've come to.
That's where we are. Yeah.
And then, I mean, Brighton, I don't think is that bad an idea. Like I'm not just saying this because I'm talking to you. Like genuinely, I think that there is scope to invest in Brighton. There's some decent options there. obviously, like for me, obviously, if the Spurs game gets called off, I'm down to 10 players because I don't have a goalkeeper because I just have Ramsdale. So that will affect my decision making. And part of my thinking for this week was, well, do I change Steele, who's my bench keeper at the moment, and upgrade him to a playing? Because obviously, over the next couple of weeks, Arsenal will also have those blank game weeks to contend with. So in my head, I was like, well, do I get Sanchez anyway as a minus four, knowing that then I can just rotate them both and I can play Sanchez in this double game week? So that might still be one of the things that I do. But I do think now, whereas before, when double game weeks get announced, you target it, right? You go all out to bring in as many double game weeks as you can, but you don't ignore the single game weeks with nice fixtures. Mm. I kind of think we're now reverting back a little bit to going, well, let's look if there's a double. That might add a little bit to whether I'm attracted to that player or not. Primarily, my focus is going to be, what news do I have from these two teams, and is the game going to be on? And which single game weeks have the nicest fixtures? Because if their games are on, then you're safer.
Well, I'm still desperately looking for a double game week player to captain, and really struggling to know which one to get. And, you know, we can talk about a bit more of that in a bit. But it could be that looking at Bowen against Leeds and looking at Jota or Trent,
DCL against Norwich.
Yeah, I mean, these single game week players suddenly, because unless you're on a free hit, I just can't advocate buying Chelsea players, given they go into Spurs and then the run of blanks they've got. So that's almost Chelsea out for a transfer. United, I mean, my spoiler is that I'm looking at Fernandes and captaincy on him.
That's what Lee's talking about doing.
And, I mean, let me just show you some of the stats on Fernandes. So I've been looking in the members area at Fernandes just to see how bad he's been this season compared to last season. So on average, he's down in every single metric. His XG is halved on average, from 0.4 to 0.2. His expected assists has gone down from 0.3 to 0.2. His XG on target was 0.5 and now it's 0.1. And his expected goal involvement has gone from 0.7 a match to 0.4. So his stats aren't absolutely dreadful. Like a 0.4 expected goal involvement on average per match isn't bad, really. But
it's not great.
I mean, he's averaging it's less than one expected goal involvement every two matches. It's not like ridiculous. It's bad for a 11.2 million mid, but at the moment, money isn't really an option because it isn't really a factor because we've not got Salah. But then, I mean, look at something. I mean, passes received. I mean, it's gone from 55 down to 46. So he's getting the ball less. The only thing he's got going for him is he's dribbling more, slightly more per match, which I don't really care about. BPS baseline, BPS total has gone from 23.6 to 16.3. Penalty area touches down 3.4 to 2.4. Goal attempts in general down from 3.3 to 2.2. Everything on last season is down. But
if Ronaldo isn't fit and available, I do think that makes Bruno look more attractive. Like, because when Lee first said this to me this morning, it was before this other rumour came out about Ronaldo and his maybe potential for another injury. And I was like, no, I just don't think they're working very... No. Then that other news came out and I thought, do you know what? If Ronaldo's not there, do we go back to seeing Bruno being the man again in that team? Like, maybe we do. The problem I have with it is it all feels very punty. And yes, I could go to Bruno from Sun fairly comfortably. It's no problem. Do I want to hold him long term, or am I only doing this for the double game week? Because if I'm only doing it for the double game week, how sure am I that he's going to perform really well across the two games? Because the underlying stats aren't suggesting that he's going to do that.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a few things going for him. Someone mentioned in the chat that Ryan says in the chat, Salah placeholder. That's one of the reasons I like him. Because if you take Son out at this point and you get in, you know, someone cheap and you spread the money around your side, then you're going to find it harder to get. Like, I can move for Fernandes. Right? Yeah. And I was thinking of, you know, moving onto Kane, for example. But say that's a 4-point hit. This is what Ted mentioned yesterday on the FPL show, which I quite like. It's a 4-point hit to get Kane. And then if you want to go back to Salah, it's another 4-point hit. So it's 8 points. Whereas if you move to Fernandes and then you free up some money, you can move him to Salah quite easy. Your point about Ronaldo is completely bang on. In theory, he was performing at his best without Ronaldo. I'm still not entirely sure on how how much stock we can put into that. I don't think Ronaldo is ruining the side. I think United.
No, I don't either.
All season, but
I don't either. I don't think that Ronaldo is the problem. I just think that coincidentally, Bruno's game seems to have been shifted since the arrival of Ronaldo, which makes him less attractive as an FPL option. So if Ronaldo isn't there, does that mean it shifts back and makes him more attractive? Yeah. Or does he still play how he has been? And that's where my issue with Bruno lies, because I'm not sure either way. And I just look at Bruno and think, if Salah doesn't come back until the end of AFCON, do I really want to hold Bruno Fernandes for that length of time until he comes back? And I'm not convinced that I do.
The fixtures are all right, though. That's the other thing. That's the other thing that I don't mind about him. I mean, he's got Villa, he's got the double game week, and then West Ham at home, who got the clean sheet against Norwich, but otherwise have been pretty leaky.
They've been poor, yeah.
And then it's Burnley, Southampton, Leeds, Watford. So, you know, I mean, Salah's going to be back during that time, but it's not the end. I don't think it's the end of the world to hold him across that run. It's about the best run of fixtures it could be while Salah is out.
It's minus four as well. Likely this is going to be a minus four, because the reality is I don't want to do...
I can do it for free. So I can, which is something that's helping it.
I mean, I can just go Son to Bruno, but then I'm in a team. I've got a team that's got Bruno and Ronaldo in it. And yeah. I'm not convinced that I really want that. I need news on Ronaldo, basically, is what I need. Because if Ronaldo isn't fit and available, then fine, I could get Bruno, I could take a minus four, bring in another forward. I mean, goodness only knows what forward I would bring in, to be honest, at this point, because we've obviously got doubts around that Spurs Arsenal game. Do I really just want to bring in Kane for a minus four for one single game week? Not sure. With Burnley game being called off, that puts Burnley Watford in doubt. Do I want to take a minus four to bring in Dennis and alongside King, because that'd give me two of them? I'm not sure I really want to do that. But there's not really anybody that massively leaps off the page to me as a standout forward option for this game week if Ronaldo's not available. If Ronaldo can play in one of those two, then I'll probably just hold him, to be honest. But then I don't think I want the double up.
No. No, I know. Nor, I don't want the double up. I mean, this is what I mean. How has it got to this where, A, Fernandes is even being considered because he's been so rubbish this season,
yeah.
But B, that Fernandes is a bad option in a double game week when United have got two okay-looking fixtures. It's, you know, if you were offered this last season, it would be, everyone would be on Bruno anyway. It wouldn't even be a... No, we wouldn't even be debating the likes of Dennis or King, or it'd be absolutely ridiculous. Of course we're captaining
him. And everyone
Bruno
would captain him.
Yeah.
You might even contemplate the triple captain with
him. Oh, you would, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that's an idea. Maybe a triple captain on Bruno.
No, don't. It's rogue enough to own him, alone to own him and captain him, alone if you owned him, triple captain him.
There'll be a few brave people.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Right, considering this is a Q&A and we've been talking for 15 minutes, we should probably actually take some questions from the
chat. They'll be about Bruno.
To be fair, there has been some talk about Bruno already.
It's like that Disney song, We Don't Talk About Bruno.
Yeah, it's exactly that, yeah. Stephen Doherty is bench boosting this week. I mean, play.
Really?
Don't know how you've got a bench.
Have you got a bench? Yeah.
I like that. I'd like to know who is your bench, Stephen. Let us know your team so we can see how you've managed to pull this off. Stephen Doherty also asks, anyone know what's up with Foden? We don't yet. I'm hoping, I'm doing team news with Neil at 3. Hopefully we'll have some news from Pep by then.
Neil's going to be the most popular man ever today, isn't he?
I know. The team news thing later is going to be...
We'll all be in Neil's DMs later going, can I have that insight?
Carnage. I know. Matt Francis asked why we haven't got a cup of tea.
Okay. Here's the honest truth. I didn't have time. Because about 15 minutes before this stream, I still hadn't dried my hair. So the only thing I had time to do is get a glass of water before Az told me off being late.
You were late anyway.
I was late anyway.
Might as well have made the tea. See, these are the questions that really get to the heart of what
they
we
really
want.
Help with your FPL decision making.
Steve asks, is free hit looking a better or worse idea? It means I could actually get 11 out, but it could be a waste. I think that's an excellent question.
I don't know how you feel about this, Az, but for me, it's a waste of a free hit chip because we can't guarantee what's going to happen across this game week. The deadline's tonight. That's a lot of time between... Like, I don't think we're going to have any insight likely, I don't think we're going to know for sure what's happening with that Spurs-Arsenal game ahead of the deadline tonight. We won't know about Leicester. We won't know about that second Burnley game. with against Watford before that. Conte made some very rogue, vague comments about the Spurs squad looking a bit thin. Now, that could just be Daniel Levy, I need some more players, or it could be actually my team is a bit thin because I've got injuries. So there's all of that that's kind of playing in the background. And for me, that makes the free hit less attractive because I could bring in players like Kane, which I think if you're free hitting, you would do. And then if that Arsenal game goes, that's going to leave you then down to just a game against Leicester. It all just feels a bit like you could be free hitting just to have single game weekends. Now, yes, that might not be a bad thing if other games get called off, because it means you have an advantage over players that don't free hit and therefore are just going with their squads. But I do think you could maximise your potential with a free hit later on, particularly when the AFCON players come back and we likely see less postponements because the squad sizes will grow. So at that point, you're then going to have teams like Liverpool, Spurs, who you might want to actually invest in, who are going to have more double game weeks coming. So if I was you, I'd hold a free hit now.
Yeah, I mean, the free hit is best to target double game weeks or to help your squad if you've got blank game weeks and players haven't got fixtures. What we're seeing is we're seeing teams lose their double game week, not their whole games. So there's no teams with a blank, for example.
Yeah.
So I would never advocate using a free hit in a single game week when you've got a squad of 11 players. So I don't think that changes the thing, because you're just going to be swapping out players that have, you know, like Maddison, for example, could still play against Spurs. Yeah. So you're free hitting what, Maddison for Trossard? You know, like there's no guarantee that Trossard does well just because he's got the two games. There isn't enough option for it to be a factor. So I think I just wouldn't free hit this week. There's no way I would free hit this week. Even if I had a squad of 11 non-double game week players, I still wouldn't free hit this week. That's
no, I wouldn't either. I agree with you. And I think, you know, you can get 11 out, or you can get as close to possible as having 11 out with a minus four. So most people will be able to get a squad out with a minus four, with probably still some bench options. The issue are going to be for people like me who've just got Ramsdale, because then it is going to be, and I've got Ramsdale and I've got Son and I've got Ronaldo. So,
well, I think Sanchez is a good move for you because it gives you another goalkeeper
that's,
option.
That's
anyway,
what I think I'm going to do. I think
the blanks.
That was my original plan, was to go Son to Maddison and then take a minus four to take Steele to Sanchez. Give me two alternative playing keepers. It also means that when I get to bench boost territory, I've got two playing keepers that I can deploy. It felt like a really sensible move, and I still think that feels like a really sensible move. So that probably will still be something that I do, because it covers me if that Spurs and Arsenal game gets called off anyway. Plus, I'd play Sanchez because he's got a double game week.
So. Yep, makes sense. Violet Citizen said, "As is looking good today. I was complimented at first, and then I realised that was earlier when I had the screens one way around. So it's actually you being complimented in that one." I was like, "Oh, thank you,
Violet
Citizen.
You do look lovely today. You look lovely today.
You always look lovely. I don't even need to say it." Is McAllister going to play two games? That's from SK. I don't think he will, probably. He started the last three, but Welbeck's back now and has been kind of being eased in. I wouldn't be surprised if Welbeck started one of the two games. It was a great performance from McAllister against Everton. 15 points, two goals. Definitely starts one of them. I wouldn't be too surprised if he missed out, though. It's 4 days apart, I think, the two games.
Yeah.
And I think Welbeck is in line for a start. So I'd go for Trossard over McAllister, but personally, I don't think either of them are particularly good picks. I don't think they're going to be high score. We're not going to score many goals against Palace or Chelsea.
What about the defence? Lamptey?
Yeah, Lamptey. Lamptey's the one that I want. Again, it's the 4 days thing, which is a bit of a concern with him. I think Cucurella's probably the standout of the two now. I've been bigging up Lamptey for ages, but as the week's gone on, I've just started to get a little bit more worried about his availability.
Right.
So Cucurella, I mean, 5-1 for Cucurella is quite a lot, though. But if you are on a free hit, I would go for him for the security of the start.
Yeah, okay.
Tim Weenink transferred in Maddison this morning. Oh no, why? Why this morning? Alan's just a pseudonym, did the same thing as well. He's not alone. Philip Norris. Loads of people transferred in Maddison this morning. Why?
Well, the thing is, I sat and I recorded a podcast this morning, and as I was recording it, I was like, I'm going to do Maddison. And then I was like, I might as well do it now. Like, what's going to change in the next 5 hours that's going to make me not want to do it. And then I was like, actually, this is silly. Anything could change in the next 5 hours. This is like, I could have other things that go wrong. But then part of me was just like, well, I think it's the comforting thing of Rogers saying everything's fine at Leicester again. At that moment, you kind of go, okay, well, everything's fine at Leicester then. So Madison, great option. And you kind of, in my mind anyway, because Burnley are such a, particularly with Max Coney away and now with Wood being sold, they're such a non-FPL option at the moment that I kind of just forget that they exist. So then when it's a problem at Burnley, it wasn't something I factored into my thinking that could affect Madison, if that makes sense. So I guess that's why you do it, because you just think, right, I've got the news on Leicester, everything's looking good, I'm happy I can make that move, Son's not going to play anyway, because that's the majority of people going Son to Madison. It's then that Burnley throw you into a quandary.
No. It's amazing how quickly it happens, because, yeah, you know, it looks like everything's fine, and then suddenly you see one tweet which just says Burnley's now a bit of a doubt, and then within about 3 minutes, the game's pulled off. So, yeah I know we say it every week, but you really have got to leave everything till the last minute.
Yeah.
You know, making transfers in the morning is just not a good idea anyway, even without COVID stuff going on.
This one's also difficult though, isn't it? Because it's a Friday evening kickoff and deadline, and that also affects people's ability to do things, because of course people are at work and they're making transfers. And like I was saying to you before, I'm not around near the deadline tonight because we've got our son's birthday party. So I'm going to have to make my transfers at 4:30 before I go, because there's no way there's no way I can do it. I cannot make a transfer when I'm dealing with 8-year-olds. So I'm going to have to deal with it before I go. And that means hopefully we'll have all the news from Neil by that point, and I'll just have to go with where we are at that point, because there's nothing else I can do.
Absolutely. I know, I do sympathise for people. You know, Luke talks to you, he works in a job where he can't have his phone on him, for example. So he can't react to this kind of news. It just hurts when I see things like made a transfer in the morning and then and then this kind of thing happens. MK says feels the best thing to do is not take a single hit this game week. That's my theory as well. I think if you've got 11 guys who are probably gonna get a game, that's probably enough, unless you're strengthening your squad going forward. So I think your Sanchez move is a perfect example of a hit that I think in the long term kind of pays off. Yeah. And if you're moving for kind of, I mean, someone's mentioned Rafinha in the chat as well, thinking that maybe, is he a good option? Maybe he is. Maybe going for the single game week players who actually got games and not blanks and things might be the smarter move. Rather than getting someone like Mount.
I keep looking at Damari Gray thinking he's got Norwich. Should be a good game week for him. Loads of potential doubles coming up. Maybe I go there. But then, it's one of those things.
Gray and Fernandez, Sam. That's where we're at this week.
And this is the fundamental issue, isn't it? Like the goalie thing, I think I'm just going to do. I don't really have an issue with doing that. Even if Sanchez got one of his games called off and he just had a single game week, I still think long term that's a good thing for my team. The Sun position, though, much more up for debate now. Madison was the obvious choice. I really like Mount, but because of what happens to Chelsea after this double, I can't do that. So then you're in a position where I'm looking at across the rest of the double game with Lucas Moura attracts me, but the problem with Arsenal puts me off. So
what about FPL though? Sorry. Don't tell Lee. got a thing for bald Brazilian men, haven't you, Sam?
Always. Because he looks exactly like all the other players that I say attract me as well. So I think he looks like a great option. Plus, I'm supposed to be at Spurs on Sunday, and I love owning a player that I'm going to watch. And probably, to be honest, if I had a Spurs player, I'd captain them this week. I was going to captain Son on that basis. But that Arsenal thing, I really would like somebody to just go, you're playing to Arsenal. And then that would make it a lot easier, because you'd just be able to go, right, I'm going Kane for Ronaldo if he's not fit, or I'm going Moura for Son if he, you know, because he's not fit. And it would make that decision easy. But that Son position, it's going to differentiate the game this week, because people are going to go in all sorts of random ways from him.
Yeah.
It's not an obvious pick to replace him.
No, I know. Yes, in the chat saying, as saying, he feels for people 2 minutes after mocking them. yeah, no, I did feel bad. That's me in a nutshell, isn't it, really? No, I wasn't mocking. I was just, like I said, it just hurts when I hear people have made a transfer in the morning and then and then a few hours later it. I think, but you made a good point that, you know, sometimes it's not always obvious to, not always easy to hold and wait. So yeah, no, I do feel bad. I felt, you know. Quite a few questions about Ronaldo coming in. The Skip Bayless. Where does it say Ronaldo's injured? And a few others asking about him. What we know on Ronaldo is that he had some muscle tightness and missed
Monday.
The cup match. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he has done an Instagram post or a tweet or something saying that he hopes to be available for the weekend, which is quite an un-Ronaldo-like comment to make. You'd think he'd just be like, yeah, I'm definitely back. Don't worry, I'm fighting for it. He never normally shows any kind of weakness, does he, Ronaldo? It's a bit of an odd one. There's then been a report in the Express.
The Express and the Sun.
Quoting the Sun, saying that he's had a new setback and hasn't been in training. Now, I never tend to believe those kinds of rumours. I see them all the time in these papers. Sort of unaccredited journalists getting it from a bloke there down the pub saying he broke down in training or something like that. I would wait for any kind of verified journalist news on Twitter. It's one of the most useful things of social media for these. But he's a doubt.
Plus, we've got the press conference today.
We've got the press conference. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hopefully Rannick will give a clear answer. If he doesn't, and the managers do that from every now and then, he has to be considered a doubt. I would say particularly for that Villa game.
And the issue then is, as a Ronaldo owner, with no other massively attractive options up there, bar the Watford boys, but even then we've got doubts surrounding that Burnley game anyway now. So with no other attractive options in the forward line, if that Spurs game gets called off because of Arsenal's issues, if Ronaldo's got a chance of playing in the second game, then he's a hold for me because he's got potential to get minutes rather than take a hit. Because who am I taking a hit for?
I don't know.
More pie? Like, you know, that's where we are, aren't we? Like, the forward line is really tough. So if Kane's fit, well, he is fit. If Kane is available to play two games in a double game week, he's a great option.
Yeah.
If the Arsenal game gets called off, it does make him less of a great option. Having said that, his record against Leicester is still really good. And so he could do really well for us in that second fixture that Spurs have got scheduled. And you don't mind holding Kane beyond, because although it's Chelsea next, there's going to be plenty of double game weeks coming up. So there is potential still there, but you just have to take that -4 cautiously if we don't get firm word today on what's actually wrong with Ronaldo.
Yeah. I mean, arguably Kane is still the best option, even if that Arsenal game gets called off because of his record against Leicester, the problems they've got, and the fact that we know from Rodgers they're ready to play. You know, they're ready to play Burnley. It's Burnley that have postponed that. So we can be pretty sure that Leicester-Spurs game is going to go ahead unless something happens in the Spurs camp or Leicester, I mean, as it easily can. But, you know, I think if you've got Kane is by far the obvious captain option for me this week. I mean, he was anyway. I've been saying all week, you know, assuming all the doubles are on, I'd have picked Kane if I had him.
Yeah,
it's just that for me to get him, I'd have to move, you know, Son and one of Antonio. Well, I'd have to move Son and Antonio out. And although Antonio's been poor, I still don't feel confident selling him ahead of Leeds.
No.
And it's going to be probably another disappointment, like he has done for so long. But I still, it doesn't. And then for a hit, and then another hit to get Salah back in a couple of weeks. It's tricky. We've had a super chat from Luke C. What do we think about De Bruyne? I wish City had a better game this week.
Yeah, I do too. If they had anyone other than Chelsea, I would probably make moves on City.
I'd be going De Bruyne over Fernandes, even with Fernandes with double game any day, if City didn't have Chelsea.
Yeah, I think I would do the same, actually. It's the Chelsea fixture, right? Like, we know that Chelsea can be... Yes, they've got injury problems in key areas of the defence, but we know that they can be solid when they want to be. And that's going to be a really close, cagey game. Neither side's going to want to lose that game.
Mm.
Do I think Kevin De Bruyne can get something in that one? Yes, absolutely. But do I think he's going to get like a massive haul? I think it's unlikely against Chelsea.
I guess the argument is that, like, I'm considering Fernandes, and you've said rightly you're going to have to hold him for like a longer period, presumably afterwards. I don't really want him. Whereas at least with De Bruyne, he's a bit of a more long-term pick. You could hold him after Chelsea, Southampton, Brentford, Norwich.
Yeah, absolutely.
Three amazing games. Maybe he's the better one.
And you know what? Maybe actually City look like a nice option because they're the early game tomorrow. So we're going to have there's less opportunity for stuff to go wrong before Saturday lunchtime. So in some ways, owning a player from, like, I've got Bernardo Silva already still. He won't go anywhere for me for a while because the fixtures are going to take a turn for the better. But also he's going to play early tomorrow. So I feel a bit safer with players like him and Cancelo on that basis. That it's like, well, that's two done. I've got two are out
just
and they're finished.
Just get them out. Just get the players out and hope.
Same with Rudiger, right? And just get them out, get them played, and then take a sigh of relief that that will be three players in that early lunchtime kickoff tomorrow that are done.
Yeah, five starts in a row for De Bruyne, three goals over that time. I do like him. I have to say, I do like him. And if you have got Son, you've got some money in the bank, and you're thinking about Fernandes, I think you should. I'm going to consider De Bruyne as well.
I think you have to consider him.
If Ronaldo's fit, so if Ranić comes out later and says Cristiano Ronaldo is fit to play, I will captain Ronaldo, and I think I will likely bring in De Bruyne. That is actually what I'll do. Is Kunay's been helpful? Because I think that is a better kind of longer term move than going for Fernandes and going the double United that I don't believe in.
Yeah. I mean, if Ronaldo's fit, there's absolutely no way I'm going to Bruno.
No.
I'll just captain Ronaldo and then I don't know. I'm tempted. There's not anybody that I really think yet. Like, I'd be tripled up on City then. And whilst I don't mind being tripled up on a team like Manchester City because it's Manchester City, I also hate it because at the moment with games getting cancelled and stuff, I just feel like it's a massive issue. Like, if I didn't have Bernardo Silva, KDB is an obvious decision. Like, it's easy to do that. But with Bernardo in my team as well, I'm not sure how I feel about that. So that some position is going to be a really last minute decision for me because I'm not really massively attracted to anyone. Apart from Lucas Moura, but then that game might go, so then it's a single game week. Am I as attracted to him with a single game week as I was to the double game week? I don't think I am. I'd rather have Kane for a single game week.
I agree. It's tough.
It's a headache, isn't it?
It is. It's all a massive headache. Question to you from Lynn. How do you think Spurs will play with Son out? She asked if you still think Kane's a good option, which you do. Is Moura nailed?
Moura's nailed. Moura's definitely nailed. He'll play. We got too many other problems and they're looking to sell Bergwijn. So Moura will play. I think Kane is still a really good option. If you look at how we played against Chelsea, we played pretty much with Moura up top next to Kane, which is how I think it will go moving forward. My issue with Spurs is less about Son being out, strangely, and it's more about the defenders being out, because without Reguilón, we haven't had that attacking threat down.
What's going
outside
on with Reguilón?
Well, apparently he's tired, but he's been tired now. I know. Makes you want to give him a hug, doesn't
I know.
It? He needed a rest because he was tired, but that was 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, about 10 days ago. So, and then it's not COVID because he's been in the stadium. There's been pictures of him sat in the stadium. They panned to him during the game the other night. He sat with Son during the FA Cup fixture. So if it's just tiredness, I'm really surprised not to have seen him back on Wednesday evening when we really needed him against Chelsea, which makes me worry that there's something slightly more underlying there than just tiredness. Alongside that, we've obviously got injuries to Dier, and that has been catastrophic. That loss of Dier, I mean, rewind 2 years. If you'd have told me, I'd have sat on a stream and said, losing Dier in the Spurs defence is a catastrophe, and I'd have laughed at myself. But it genuinely has been. Like, we were defensively really solid under Conte at the beginning. Dier's got injured, and suddenly the whole thing's gone to absolute pot. Defensively, they've looked awful, scoring own goals and just flapping. But I think that uncertainty and that lack of stability in the back is massively affecting the players going forward, because it's meaning that Kane and Moura are dropping deeper because they're trying to come and connect with the defence more. And we're slipping back into those bad habits. So for me, depends on what we hear from Conte later about Romero. If Romero is fit and available, because he's on that path where I would suspect we might see him at some point in the next week, that's going to make us more defensively solid. That should mean better play out from the back and therefore make Lucas Moura and Kane better options, even without Son there. So I think it's going to go back to what does Conte say this afternoon. But I would quite happily invest in Lucas Moura. I think he will be a really nice option for the next few weeks. And even if you look at that Chelsea game, there are a number of opportunities for both Kane and Moura where they could have and probably should have scored.
So don't captain Kane if Dier's out.
Yeah, well, how ridiculous is that as a comment, by the way?
It is.
But yeah, I worry about Spurs without Dier. Honestly, I now worry about myself for saying this stuff.
It's very interesting, because, I mean, it was the same with Liverpool last year, right? Yeah. Liverpool had defensive injuries and it changed their whole style of play because other players had to adapt and come back in. You stick Van Dijk back in the side and it frees up the attacking players to push up the pitch. So it's not too ridiculous. The only thing ridiculous about it is that it's Dier.
It's Dier. I know, it's Dier. But
he's been great. He's been great under Conte, I have to say.
He has. He's made that position his. He's been really strong and solid. And I'm actually really quite excited to see him play alongside Romero properly under Conte, because obviously we lost Romero so early on. The two of them together, I think defensively, with Hugo behind, that will allow the likes of Royal and Reguilón to be really great fancy options, because they'll be able to go knowing that the defence alongside Skip sitting in front of them will just be controlling that defensive unit. Yeah. So it will be great for us as FPL managers when Spurs start getting those doubles once they're back. Mm. My concern is now we've got this double. It looks on paper to be quite nice for Kane because he's got these great results. But I do worry slightly that if defensively we play the same team that we did against Chelsea, he'll feel the need to drop back to help. And that makes him less of a great option for us going forward.
Yeah. I think Reguilón's interesting because we don't really know what's going on there. I think it's a combination of a niggling injury, but also comments that have indicated that he's struggling in the system to really get up and down the pitch how Conte wants. And so there's a bit of a fitness thing there, but he's not really able to work on the fitness because he's had this hamstring injury. So the best thing to do is maybe just to let him rest, get that injury properly healed up, and then work on the fitness, which means is a bit of a risky buy.
What seems to be being said at the moment, isn't it? You know, he's tired. Q4, he needs a rest, because he did play a lot of football, but I don't think you can buy him, but equally, can you sell him?
No. I'd keep him unless we get confirmation that he's out,
which we won't. I doubt very much that Conte's going to say anything about Reguilón because he hasn't so far. So why would he? He might make a comment about tiredness, I suppose, but I can't think he's going to say anything more than we already really know.
Yep, 1,200 people watching this, Sam.
That shows how much of a panic the FPL community is.
It does. Thank you everyone for watching. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel and make sure you like the video. For anyone interested, Mark and Luke are doing a video at 1 o'clock, which is for Fantasy Football Scout premium members only. So you need to have obviously a membership with Scout. But if you do, or you're interested, then get signed up, head over to Scout, just go to the members area and then the members videos. And then there's a link to it for you at 1 o'clock. So if you're interested in that, check them out. Right, we've had three super chats, and then I think we'll probably call it for the day. Stephen Gallagher, plan was Armstrong, who was stinking up my bench, to Dennis. I have King already. Would you forget that and get in Calvert-Lewin or Watkins instead for a -4? So I think Armstrong out's completely fine. I think Bro is obviously the pick there for the Southampton striker. So if you've got Armstrong, moving him out is sensible. So basically, would you go for Dennis, Calvert-Lewin or Watkins?
This is hard, because this is an unknown question, because on paper you go Dennis, because the fixtures, it's a double game week, two really nice fixtures. But the circumstances surrounding Burnley at the moment mean I do have some concerns. How much is going to change at Burnley between now and the middle of the week when they're due to play Watford?
Yeah.
They're not going to sign anyone, I doubt, in that period of time. they're not getting anyone back from AFCON in that period of time. Their injuries seem to be quite, they don't seem to be short term. So I don't know if they're going to get anyone back. If Dennis has only got a single game week, then I'm not sure you'd want Dennis and King. I don't know if you'd want the double up. Whereas I do think, and maybe this is just me because I've been burnt by him once, but I do think Dominic Calvert-Lewin against Norwich could be an excellent option. Mm. Not only that, the Everton fixtures are really nice beyond this double game week. And they have so many games that they've still got to play that you could end up with multiple double game weeks out of Dominic Calvert-Lewin at a point where the fixtures are nice. So they've strengthened with El Ghazi. They've got rid of Luca Dean, who there was obviously some issues there. So there's moves being made at Everton now as well to strengthen the team going forward. El Ghazi, I think, is a good loan signing for them. I think I'd be tempted to go Dominic Calvert-Lewin and just don't worry too much about the double game weeks at the moment.
Yeah, I think I would go Calvert-Lewin. I think you've got to use this transfer kind of long term.
Yeah, I do.
And I think that rules Dennis out if you've already got King, because I don't think you want the double up with both of them. I think you go Calvert-Lewin. That would be my pick.
Yeah, it would mine too.
Yeah, interesting. Sanjay Shenoy asks, essentially, would you go for Laporte or Varane? Which I think is probably quite an easy one. There's absolutely no way I'd be touching United centre-backs.
The only attractive thing there is a double game week.
It's a double, yeah. Would you want Varane long-term, though?
No. And like we've said, you know, do I think Man City... Like, is it a transfer you have to make this week? Because I'm not sure Man City are going to keep a clean sheet against Chelsea. So I'd be inclined to wait that and do it the week after. But if there's an injury, I suppose, in that line that you need to get rid of, then I don't know. That doesn't scream a transfer I'd want to make ahead of this double game week.
No.
Based upon Man City's fixtures. And I don't think I wouldn't want to go with a Manchester United defender.
Yeah, I think this week, like maybe Varane outscores Laporte, but I wouldn't be too surprised if it was a lot closer than that. But yeah. Then going forward, I think Laporte's a great pick. Beyond this week. I mean, he's a great James replacement because he's around kind of the same price. Mm-hmm. And City have got a great run of fixtures. So,
That would be a transfer I'd want to do next week.
Yep. And the final question for us this week is from Christofari Con, who just asks, is Foden worth the risk this week? So... We don't know. I mean, it's a really difficult question to answer because we just don't know the status and availability of Foden. Mm. If Foden's fit and available, then he's still my preferred City option to have in my team long term. I've still got him. If he's a doubt, obviously you can't bring him in. Would I bring him in this week? Probably not. But long term, he's my favourite, even over De Bruyne.
Over De Bruyne?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I still think Foden is the best pick in that City squad.
Interesting.
If fit.
and let's see what Pep says, because Pep doesn't always give us the insight that we would ideally like to make those decisions. But I do agree with you. I don't think it's a decision I would be making this week. I would kind of just, as long as you've got, if you own Foden already, as long as you've got a bench where somebody can come on and cover him this week if he isn't fit and isn't available. But I don't think you're going to want to sell him unless it's a long-term thing, because from next week the fixtures are really nice. Would I transfer him in this week? Not for a game against Chelsea, but would I transfer him in next week? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, I think that is it for this week. Can you say Varane a bit posher? Is that not how you pronounce it? Varane. I like Varane. Let's call him that.
You do sound a bit posh, actually.
It does sound a bit posh, yeah. I'm from Essex, come on.
You are the most posh one on here.
That says a lot about Scout, I think. Anyway, thank you everyone for joining us. I've just had a message from Mark, and he's now a doubt for his members video.
Should we transfer him out?
Typical Mark.
Who should we bring in instead?
A diva. And also typical of this week, a postponement and a cancellation at the last minute. So thanks everyone for watching. Thank you, Sam, for joining me. We'll be back ahead of the next game week with the next Q&A. But for now, hopefully it's been useful. And we'll see you soon.